Don Mattingly joins us on Sports Byline. He got his chance to be a manager for the first time with the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's after he played his entire 14-year baseball career for the New York Yankees. And his number 23 was retired by the Yankees. Don, you've had a chance before becoming the manager of the Dodgers to sit back and watch Joe Torre and watch other managers around baseball. And I'm assuming that you took in an awful lot about what the job would be like. How has it been similar to or different from what you thought it might be like?
Well, the baseball part has been pretty true to form. You know, when you watch the game itself and dealing with players, some of the things I did as a coach and watching the interaction, you know, with other players as I was a player, that's been pretty true to form. The stuff behind the scenes is really the stuff that I don't know if you can really be prepared for. You know, you're dealing with the number of guys when you have call-ups and sending a guy down and bringing a guy up and the reasons why and dealing with options and you know, contracts and things like that when you hear what comes into play with some of your decisions, that's been the part that's probably been the biggest learning curve for me.
Have you found that it takes more communication with players today than it did when you were playing and the way managers communicated with you and your fellow players?
I think it's a little different. Nowadays, I think you got to talk to these guys. For me, I think guys appreciate information. They want to know what you're thinking. You know, they follow everything on ESPN and all the, you know, the stuff. They know everything that's going on. So you want them to hear things that you're thinking. You want them to hear it from you. I try to keep kind of daily conversations going with guys throughout the course of the season, especially when it involves them as far as, you know, maybe playing time or the way I'm using them out of the bullpen, things like that. You try to keep talking to them, let them know what you think. Sometimes they don't like it necessarily, but I think when they hear it from you and you're up front with it, it's not, you know, sitting around for 2 weeks on the table, them not knowing what's going on. It works a lot better. And in the past, you know, managers and it seems like organizations just kind of said, you know, this is what we're doing. What do you need to know? Just go do your job. And so it's changed a little bit. And I think it's better that the fact that you give guys information, let them know what's going on.
One of the things I remember Don Baylor and also Frank Robinson told me this, Don, in a conversation, they lamented a little bit about the way players prepare for games. They said, you know, managers didn't have to stay on top of us to get ready for a game. But today it's different. Have you found that attitude will be a little bit different? Has the money changed the game, the way players approach the game and preparing for it?
I'm not sure about the preparation. I think you know, money's definitely changed the circumstances of the game. Guys get money quicker. That's for sure. We have younger guys in the big leagues quicker because of the salary structure. You don't keep the veteran around that's going to make a little bit more money. You kind of say, well, if he's not going to be playing every day, then we'll go with a younger guy. It's cheaper. So you have more teaching to do. But I really find that players, the game, that's where the game doesn't change. If a guy's 0 for 4 or 4 for 4 or he's not pitching well or playing well, he's got those same feelings that I had and other players had when they weren't doing well either. So I know that common denominator is always there.
You bring up a very good point about the young player being brought up to the major leagues. Joe Morgan said that it used to be you'd be down in the minor leagues and you'd get trained down there and you'd be more prepared to play at the major league level. How much mentoring goes on by a senior player today of the young player coming up?
You know, they're still pretty good about it. I find the veteran guys, especially if you get the ones that play the game right and go about their business in the proper way, they're really good with the younger guys, especially if the younger guy's respectful. And that's one of the things I think I've tried to push for is that, hey, we treat everyone with respect. A guy that's been here a little bit, you treat him with respect, he'll help you out. And so that's the main thing. I think guys like helping younger guys when they come up as long as they're respectful. And when we get that atmosphere going on, our older guys have been really good with our young players.
How much is specialization? It used to be that pitchers would go into the eighth or have a complete game, but now we've got the middle reliever, we've got the setup guy, and we've got the closer. How much has that changed the game of pitching, Don?
Well, that's definitely changed from a matchup standpoint. You try to match up out of the bullpen. Like you said, more specialists. You'll have guys that you use most of the time in the sixth and seventh, the guy you use in the eighth, the guy you'd use in the ninth. That's definitely, and you got lefty righty stuff going on. You know, with the pitch counts with pitchers, I think you're more careful with how long you let a guy go. In the past, you know, you might hear pitch counts of 140, 150. That doesn't happen. If a guy goes 120, he's had a long outing. So you really watch pitch counts more, And again, you get back to, you got younger pitchers here. They're here a little quicker, again, because of the salary structure. So you've got to, you know, help this guy, you know, develop a routine, and you can't let him go too long as a young guy.
You were an MVP, and you had a career batting average of .307. And I remember watching you one time at Yankee Stadium, first time I'd ever seen a game in Yankee Stadium. And the thing I'm still stuck with as I watched you at the plate, Don, is how you studied not only the pitcher but also the situation. You were patient at the plate. You were looking for something that you knew you could do something with as far as a pitch. Where did that come from in your baseball upbringing?
Well, you know, as a young player, you come up and you're just hitting. And I think the game in the big leagues is you better make adjustments and you better make them fast. Because if you don't, they'll figure you out and they'll start getting you out pretty easy. I think it's just coming up with the right group of players. I came up with, Lou Piniella and Goose Gossage, Greg Nettles, Willie Randolph. Those guys knew how to play the game. So you knew when you had a guy at second base, your job was to move that guy to third base if there's no outs in the inning. So you learn to get a pitch that you can do that with. And I think it's all about approach at the plate. We ask guys to have a game plan. When you go into every at-bat, you have to know what you want to do with this guy, what his pitches are, what they do, how do you want to work the situation, where you have to understand exactly what you want to do when you walk up there and stick with it.
You were a home run hitter because in that MVP season you hit 35 home runs, and you hit a lot of home runs during your career. And usually what they put is a label of free swinger for guys that hit home runs. But you weren't that. You hit for average. You had discipline. And that seems to be a dichotomy when you talk about home run hitters to some degree. Why was that with you?
Well, I think I was kind of the opposite of a home run hitter. I started off being an average guy. In the minor leagues, I was kind of a, 320, 330, 340 guy that hit, either anywhere from 4 to maybe 8 home runs a year. So I wasn't really a home run hitter. The power came as my body developed. I start having a better understanding of my own swing, understanding what the pitcher was trying to do to me, and kind of start getting pitches and look for certain areas of the plate to cover. So I was always a line drive hitter with power, but I always considered myself an average guy first. One of my favorite players growing up was Rod Carew, and I wanted to be like Rod. As I got to the big leagues and got through the minor leagues, I started to understand that I needed to be myself, that's for sure. But he was always a kind of a part of the hitter that I grew up being, because I wanted to hit the ball all over the field, hit the ball where it was pitched. And that just turned into a guy that had some power also, but I always felt like I was a kind of a line drive hitter first.
Don, you know as well as I do, the old cliche is in the zone when a player gets hot. Let me ask you about 1987 when you got in the zone, hitting home runs in 8 consecutive games and tying Dale Long's record. What was it like to be in the zone?
Well, it was fun, I'll tell you that. That's for sure. And it is like you say, you kind of get in that zone where everything's going your way. Again, I wasn't really trying to hit home runs during that stretch. I was just swinging the bat really well. It seemed like every time I hit one, every day I'd hit a ball and I'd get it up in the air. So I don't know if I can really explain it other than I kind of – and actually going into that, I was kind of struggling. Bobby Mercer came to town, showed me something a little bit, and I kind of tried it that night, and it fell right into place, and I got hot from there, and that's when the home runs came.
It's also been said that the best thing a player can do is stay even-keeled. When you go 3-for-4, don't get too happy, because the next day you can go 0-for-4. Is that a hard thing to do for baseball players?
Well, I think it is hard, because you get that adrenaline rush when things are going your way. I think human nature says, oh, it's going to be a good night, I'm swinging good, and you start to let your guard down a little bit, and the next thing you know, you're in an 0-for-15. I always try to look at games as, like, once they're done, they're over, good or bad. So if I got 3 hits and that game's over, I can't help my team the next day by thinking about those 3 hits yesterday. I need to go out and help my club the next day. Try to put at bats behind me if they were bad. You go 0-for-4 the same way. You want to put that day behind you, because it could only, if you let that influence the next day, then that hurts you that day, and it grows into a longer slump.
We only have 30 seconds left, but when you think about wearing a Yankee uniform your entire fine career, what memories do you have of playing with the Yankees?
Well, just very proud of that. That time is changing where guys, stay in one organization their whole career. I was very blessed to have, grown up in the organization, played my whole career there. again, we talked about the guys I was blessed to have grown up kind of when I came to the big leagues, the guys I learned from. And, you know, there's a lot of tremendous people in the organization, the people that you meet from Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, Joe DiMaggio, you know, Hank Bauer and Moose Scour, and all these guys are just great people. And they really helped me, you know, along the way. And it made me proud to be part of that organization.
Don, I want to thank you for spending time with us here on Sports Byline. I enjoyed watching your career, and I hope I'll be able to introduce you the next time when you're in the Baseball Hall of Fame, because you deserve to be there. Thank you, Don.
Ron, thanks. And I just want to say hello to all the troops and appreciate everything that you guys and girls do for us and to protect our freedoms. And can't tell you how much that we appreciate it and think about you.
Thank you, Don. Don Mattingly with us on Sports Byline. We continue on America's Sports Talk Show.